I have admitted this before in the sermon. Some of you may remember it. I own up to it. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I embrace it here without bragging about it. It's part of who I am. I come by it honestly. It comes from my father. I've passed it on to one of our two children. Kathy no longer rolls her eyes at me. She has rather come to expect it. I am a crier. I cry at commercials. I cry at standing ovations. I cry at ESPN 30 for 30 documentaries. Not a sobbing sort of thing, but enough for a tear or two to run down my cheek. I cry at sappy sports movies like Rudy. I cry at acceptance speeches. And I cried Wednesday night at the Farminary listening to Nate Stuckey share his testimony. And I've heard Nate share it on multiple occasions. So I took great comfort, great encouragement this week as I did my homework in preparing for this sermon this morning. I discovered what I already knew, but I discovered it as if for the first time. There are a whole lot of tears in the Bible. More often than not, when I share some of my homework, like the study of a particular word and where it shows up on the scriptures page, more often than not, I'm pointing out how rare or unique the use of the word may be. On Easter morning, just a few weeks ago, I argued that the use of the word greetings, as in the risen Christ saying greetings to the women outside the empty tomb, only occurs three times in the gospel. But this morning, I rise before you to tell you what I think you already know as well. There are a whole lot of tears in the Bible. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not hold your peace at my tears, for I am your passing guest and alien like all my forebears. Psalm 39. My tears have been my food day and night while people say to me continually, where is your God? Psalm 42. Again, I saw all the oppressions that are practiced under the sun. Look, the tears of the oppressed with no one to comfort them. Ecclesiastes. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. Matthew chapter 2. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to warn everyone with tears. Paul in the book of Acts. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. 2 Timothy. In the book of Genesis, at one point in the dramatic reconciliation with his brothers, Joseph wept so loud that the Egyptians could hear him. Hannah wept so hard in 1 Samuel that Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. There was the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with her tears. The weeping that filled the house when Jesus arrived to heal the daughter of Jairus. And you remember that when Peter heard the cock crow the second time, he broke down and wept. In John's gospel, after the disciples had been told by Mary Magdalene about the empty tomb, after they run to look in and then return to their homes, Mary stayed at the tomb. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And of course, when Mary confronted Jesus about the death of her brother Lazarus, and Jesus saw her and everyone else weeping, Jesus wept. When Jesus came near to the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, in the Palm Sunday procession, he wept over it. The verb used to describe Jesus' last words in the Gospels is cried. He cried out loud, and he cried out in a loud voice. The preacher in the book of Hebrews proclaims, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. Yes, there are a lot of tears in the Bible, and there's a whole lot of weeping on the scriptures page. That's because the Bible says as much about God's people as it says about God. Though in the tears of Jesus, we see the very tears of God. As Nicholas Wolterstorff writes in his moving memoir, Lament for a Son, a lament dripping with his own tears, how is faith to endure, O God, when you allow all this scraping and tearing on us? You have allowed rivers of blood to flow, mountains of suffering to pile up, sobs to become humanity's song, all without lifting a finger that we could see. If you have not abandoned us, explain yourself. And he goes on, we strain to hear, but instead of hearing, the answer we catch sight of in Christ himself, scraped and torn. Through our tears, we see the tears of God. In a similar way, William Sloane Coffin points to the tears of God in the first sermon he preached after coming back to the pulpit after the death of his son. For some reason, nothing so infuriates me, Coffin preached, as the incapacity of seemingly intelligent people to get it through their hearts that God doesn't go around with God's fingers on triggers, God's fist around knives, God's hands on steering wheels. My only consolation not lies in knowing that it was not the will of God that Alex die, that on that night God's heart was the first of all of our hearts to break. We had about 100 people at the seminary's farminery for the tour and the worship and a potluck dinner last Wednesday night. And once again, I heard Nate say a version of what I've heard him say multiple times. Farmers and pastors have a lot in common. They both have to learn a lot about life and death. You won't be surprised that I have had a multitude of conversations that no one can number about dying, death, and eternity. And the older I get, as the conversations keep coming, I find myself willing to say less when the topic turns to what heaven might be like. As Dan Migliori writes in his seminal work, Faith-Seeking Understanding, we should not pretend to have precise language and detailed information about the future. He argues that we can only speak in images, metaphors, and parables. And here, Professor Migliori quotes Martin Luther. As little children know in their mother's wombs about their birth, so little do we know about life everlasting. As little children know in their mother's wombs about their birth, so little do we know about life everlasting. Saying less for me is not a reflection of a lack of faith or a rising doubt in a grizzled old pastor. I cling ever more and more to the resurrection promise of God for you and me and this broken world. I will admit that some of the biblical imagery regarding heaven is less compelling to my own hopes and longings. Or maybe better said, the imagery surrounding eternal life with God has shifted for me. Life forever nestled into the beauty of the very heart of God. I pray that a lot with people in services. I proclaim that more and more. Life forever nestled into the beauty of the very heart of God. But there's one biblical image about heaven that I'm not going to ever let go. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. When the Bible is so full of tears, is there a more compelling resurrection promise? The Word of God so full of tears, the tears of humankind, the tears of creation, the tears of Jesus, the tears of God, so many tears, yes, the tears of the sacred page, but yes, the tears that define humanity then and now and every time in between, so full of tears. And so you can't miss. You ought not to miss. You better not miss this eternal promise of God in and through the risen Lamb upon the throne, that by grace and his righteousness and the everlasting mercy of God, one day One day, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. God will wipe away every tears, but the tears of joy, for weeping lingers for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Kathy and I fell in love on this campus 40 years ago, this spring semester. Part of our romance was sneaking into this chapel later at night. Believe it or not, it wasn't locked. I don't know that it was ever locked back then. The piano was locked, but I knew where the key was. And so I would sit at the piano and play, and we would sing. One of the few songs I knew how to play was a song by Andre Crouch. Noel Werner has chosen it for our final hymn this morning, though he doesn't know this part of our story, and he didn't know it when he picked the hymns. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Alleluia, alleluia, we're going to see the King. Here's another one. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. So stick with me here, church. If our life in Christ is a foretaste of glory divine, if God in God's infinite love and mercy offers just a glimpse of the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, if Jesus, with a grace that greets us fresh every day, invites us to taste and see now the love He has for us, if the Holy Spirit is on the loose in our lives, planting a seed deep within us of the knowledge of God's dwelling place, the wonderful Counselor reminding us today and tomorrow and the next day that the Savior has gone to prepare a place for us, if this life we live together as the body of Christ is somehow a foretaste of glory divine, then that means God is wiping your tears and mine this side of glory. The wordless comfort of the Holy Spirit at work when really no words should be said. The Savior's love that tends to a broken heart and allows just a bit of light to shine in the darkness. The resurrection promise of God that even in the chaos and turmoil of this blasted, broken world, God still points to an open door that no one can shut. Luther seems right when he wrote, "How little do we know about eternal life?" But when it comes to this foretaste that I'm trying to describe, when it comes to God wiping away, receiving, sharing, joining the tears of God's children in this life, maybe I can't describe it. Maybe I can't give you a great sermon illustration. But that's because too many of you would be in it. Because when it comes to God and your tears and my tears, now I believe it, I know it, because I've seen it a whole multitude of times that no one can count. Tears that God wipes. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Thanks be to God.